My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Is it possible to build a bridge between traditional allopathic medicine and the spiritual healing practiced by shamans and others? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Dr. Sharon Martin, had an awakening experience that led her on the path of combining Western medicine with energy medicine to create maximum medicine. Dr. Martin is a certified graduate of the Healing and Light Body Curriculum of the Four Winds Society, a premier training program in shamanic energy medicine. She's currently medical director of a rural health clinic in South Central Pennsylvania. Her website is drsharonmartin.com, and she joins me this week to share her path and just published book, Maximize Your Healing Power, Shamanic Healing Techniques to Overcome Your Health Challenges. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Dr. Sharon Martin. Welcome, Sharon.
Oh, thank you, Victor. This is so fun. Thanks for having me on this beautiful, well, we're recording on the holiday weekend, but beautiful late spring.
Absolutely. Nice warm day here in New York, too. Please share with our listeners your path and how it led to your calling in traditional medicine.
I never actually wanted to be a physician. I wanted to be a veterinarian. But you know how spirit sort of puts your path in front of you and you end up stumbling onto it? Well, I stumbled onto the path of graduate school, and then I was on faculty at Emory University. And then I stumbled into medical school and stumbled into rural South Central Pennsylvania. And there I saw mainstream medicine and its limits. The rush, we all know about the rush, the financial overlay, we know about that. But also because I was never taught in medical school or residency to engage the patient at the soul level. And that's the stuff, for those of you who believe in a soul, I happen to believe in a soul, that's the stuff that warms my heart. And those are the connections that keep me going. I love science, but you know, those heart-centered connections really keep me going. So when I saw that mainstream medicine was limited, I started seeking other esoteric and we'll call it ancient wisdom to start studying. And I was led to study Peruvian shamanism. And there I rekindled what I think fed my soul the most is that recognition and the validation that every living thing on the earth has intelligence, it has an energy, it has a spirit, and that we can engage with that and pull together those resources. So when I started to learn that and I brought that into my awareness, I think it made me a better doctor. I don't always share it with patients, but it certainly has opened my eyes to talk to people differently.
In your just published book, Maximize Your Healing Power, you share with readers something your father said to you when you expressed to him your chosen path. What did he say, and what was your reaction?
This was probably in 92 when I first started medical school. And he was grumbling about the limits of science and pills. And he had a heart condition, and so he was subjected to science and pills. And he was grumbling, and he said, Sharon, you've got this all wrong. And I said, what do you mean, Dad? You got this all wrong. And he said, there is so much more to medicine that has nothing to do with pills. He said, you need to open up and share that with people and teach them that. And you need to write a book. Well, at that moment, I thought, okay, Dad, that's a nice idea. Thanks very much. You know, I'll write a how to take care of your sinuses, how to handle a cough. Well, here we are years later, and literally my father died in the early 2000s, but I'm telling you, his spirit's been with me the whole time. And when I wrote this book, Maximize Your Healing Power, I said, Dad, this is the one you wanted me to write. I've done it. It's 30 years later, but I've done it. So toast to you, Dad. And a toast to our ancestors who have passed on, who still guide us.
Absolutely. And you also say that he quoted, physician, heal thyself.
And I thought, you know, he was being cliched, but he meant it. And I see it now that we, as people, as humans, have to take back our power. We have power to heal ourselves. And that's what I hope my book will teach, some techniques to start learning how to do that.
Absolutely. And you started addressing some of the shortcomings that exist in traditional allopathic medicine, especially in the United States. What are some of the failings that we have in the medical career?
Unless you're a psychologist or psychiatrist, we don't address the soul journey. We don't address somebody's illness as a learning in their soul path and their destiny. Then the other thing is we do not know, Western medicine does not understand the concept of an energy body. And many indigenous healers know that. And in the Peruvian shamanism, they saw the energy field that when my teacher's teacher diagrammed it for him, my teacher recognized that these were the acupuncture meridians. So that knowledge of those energy constructs of our energy field, when we start to incorporate that into Western allopathic medicine, we're going to expand our potential so much, I think.
I've seen many doctors in my life, and many of them are wonderful and warm, and some of them are rather cold. And I was actually having a discussion with a friend the other day about the importance of what's referred to as bedside manner. What's lacking in that, and especially today where we have people sitting there with laptops, making notes, and not really connecting with the patient?
You know, that ability to look eye to eye and to feel somebody, to be empathic and compassionate. And even if you have to type on the computer, you can stop and in a few minutes engage and or remember something they've told you from previous. To some people want to be an entity. They want to be an individual. They want to be seen and heard and not just a number or the next appointment on your schedule. So I think I tell the story in my book that what was so striking about my medical school training was when we went on our clinical rotations and we're walking down the hall and we go in and it's about teaching the medical students and the residents. So I appreciate that need. But to stand there and talk about a patient's illness while the patient's in the bed in front of you and talk about the risks and how close to death they are, that's so lacking in compassion and humanity. I couldn't stand it. And I think we are channeled down into these conveyor belts, these treadmills that doctors are running on. I mean, there's so much wrong in mainstream medicine. And the financial overlay makes it such often. But if we could just stop for a minute and look eye to eye and put the computer away and say, is there anything else I can help you with today? Even that. Wouldn't that be a change?
Absolutely. Is emotional intelligence something that should be added to the medical curriculum?
Yes. Right now, I think it's labeled, it's stuck in a category and filed in a back drawer. It's called the art of medicine, which is not validated at all. It's what every doctor knows. People get intuitive hits. They have psychic moments. We could put that under emotional intelligence, but we don't value it. In fact, if you say, I think so-and-so's got such-and-such, and they'll say, well, why? Tell me give me the data and you can't give the data, they blow you off.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of emotional intelligence, in Maximize Your Healing Power, you share an event that took place to open your consciousness to adding body, mind, spirit healing to your traditional practice. Please tell us about that event.
So I open my book with a story. And the story, you know, Victor, the story has even more meaning for me today. It goes beyond a mere doctor-patient encounter because I believe it was a nudge, not so little nudge, maybe a boot in the rear end by spirit. So just let me just set the scene for you. I'm in rural South Central Pennsylvania. I've remodeled an old restaurant to be my clinic. And I'm working a lot to make sure I pay the bills, just really working hard. And it's a Friday night. It's 5 o'clock. I'm finishing my last chart. I want to go home. I'm tired. And my receptionist comes down the hall with a worried look on her face and says, there's a young man up front. And I could tell by the worried look on her face that something's wrong with him and that I have to see him. And I am not happy. And I am not charitable in the thoughts that are going through my mind. Oh my golly, you got to be kidding. He's not even my patient. Why do I have to do this? How come I can't go home? All of these things. So I see this young man, and on retrospect, he looked like a cherub. He was beautiful porcelain skin with curly blonde hair, sweet, sweet disposition. And knowing what I know about energy fields, he had light. He had incredible light. I didn't know that way to describe it at that time. And he sits down and he tells me that he is very worried. He doesn't say, I think I'm crazy, but he says he's very worried. He has bad dreams. He can't sleep. But his dreams, he's seeing things. He's seeing people. He's seeing events. And I said, well, are you seeing things that aren't there? He said he sees them in his mind's eye and his dreams. And I said, well, then do they come true? He said that they did, that he was predicting. And I thought, okay. And this is where spirit says to me, put down the computer and think outside the box. So my mind's racing through the allopathic thing. Is he hallucinating? Is he schizophrenic? Is he depressed with psychosis? Do I have to have him committed? Am I going to have to call the state police to cart him 40 miles away to a hospital? And then when he gets there, how good is that going to be? They're going to sedate him. My mother was bipolar, and she, when she was psychotic, they sedated her till she, you know, her mouth would hang open. She'd have drool at the corner of her mouth. I thought, will I be doing him any good? Are these abnormal thoughts and psychoses that need to be squelched? And I kept coming back to the answer, no. In fact, all you're going to do is medicalize him, give him a label and a diagnosis, and that the best you're going to sedate him. But this young man is intuitive. He's psychic. He's intuitive. So I thought, well, I've got to do my due diligence and at least try to put some reality to this. I called his girlfriend in and I said, when he has these dreams and they come true, do other people see that he sees these? She said, oh yeah, he's known for being predictive. His grandmother told him when he was 3 that he had the sight, and his grandmother was a Romani gypsy. And I said to the young man, I said, you are not crazy. He almost cried. He was so relieved. I said, but you are so open. And now I'm talking. And Victor, you know this, when you're talking and you're downloading something that your human mind doesn't know what you're saying, and you're kind of watching yourself say it, that you're sort of like, wait, where's this coming from?
Yeah.
That download from spirit, my higher self, my soul's connection, whatever it was, starts talking. And I said, you are incredibly permeable to everything around you. Your field touches everything. You are unbelievably sensitive and you're picking up on data. But what's happened is it's exhausted you because you're taking it all in. Now, I had no construct for that. I'm kind of like watching myself going, are you a weirdo? And I said, you need to learn how to shut it off, to put a barrier up, and then to open it when you choose to. Do you have anybody in your extended family who has the sight? Now, right there, by saying that, I validated that he has the sight, not he has psychosis and bipolar. You have the sight. You need to start learning how to train yourself to shut it off and turn it on when you choose. Well, they left relieved and happy. My staff, when I came out of the room, was like, are we calling the police? What are we doing? They were all nervous. I said, everything's good. He left so relieved, and I left with already 1 foot, if not both, on the path to start seeking out a different way of looking at illness and healing. Wonderful experience, absolutely pivotal in shifting my course of my life.
And as you had touched upon earlier, that led you to seek out the interest in shamanic healing. Tell us about your introduction to shamanic healing.
I've always loved the paranormal. I've gone on to many mediums and psychics in my life, and my grandmother and mother were both very psychic. And to me, it was not woo-woo. To me, it was, if someone can sit down, a total stranger can sit down and tell you accurate things about yourself, then to me, I'm like, doesn't that prove the existence of what now I know Edgar Cayce called the Akashic Field or the Universal Matrix, whatever you call it? So I like, there, it has to be real if someone else can see pieces and I've never met them before. So there has to be another dimension that's existing around us. And I started reading Alberto Villoldo's book, Shaman, Healer, and Sage, and knew that I had to seek out the indigenous way of looking at human illness. And it happened to be Peruvian shamanism. I think I was drawn to the indigenous quality of it. I was drawn to the animistic, that a rock, a bird, the earth have spirit in them. They have life force, then you can commune with them. And I personally believe in past lives. I was a medicine man in a Native American tribe on the East Coast in a past life. And those things came up in visualizations as I learned this. But it awakened that part, or reawakened, brought it back into my awareness. Wonderful energy to remind ourselves of our connection to every living thing.
Absolutely. I had studied various healing arts in the late 1980s, early 1990s. And one of the teachers was a Peruvian shaman. And one of the things that he taught us was that shamans look beyond the physical realm, and they look at the energy field that surrounds everything. Mm. What they're looking for is a disturbance in that field, and that's where they focus the energy on. Is that something that you learned?
Yes, but you can see, you can call it the aura, you can call it the energy field. You can see, and I say see in quotes, you can feel or sense or train yourself to know when there's life force flowing and when there's gaping holes and wounds and when there's stagnant or when there's icky things that don't belong to the person. And oftentimes I've seen this most specifically in interactions that people have with other people, usually that those other people are toxic to the person, and yet they're in a relationship, a codependent relationship. And you can see, you can just see the dark, tarry, thick, swampy stuff. And you can see that they're not flowing fully with the light of being downloaded from spirit.
Absolutely. What are some of the other elements found in shamanic practice?
Ritual is a big one. So connection to spirit, and the spirit can be animistic to nature, spirits, power animals, but ritual. And for me, ritual is stepping into sacred space, stepping into not just a location, but a state of awareness where you bring your entire self, mind, body, spirit, present. You open to something higher than yourself. I happen to believe in whatever God is, that something bigger than us, the universal field, and ask to be connected. And in that act of the ritual, you are connecting yourself and bringing an intention forward. So if you're kneeling in a church, if you're lighting a candle, if you're scattering tobacco, if you're walking the labyrinth, all of those things are moments that you're in that sacred connection.
And the other thing that I remember being taught was that whatever you take from the earth, you must give something back in gratitude.
That is a key. And so there are, gratitude is a big one, and reciprocity. And you can't ask, you can, but it's not going to be a sustainable relationship, to ask for help from these unseen forces and not be willing to give something back. That imbalance doesn't last. And I often say, and I think I say this in the book, I say, nothing sends a power animal or your spirit guide packing quicker than you disrespecting it. And you don't honor and offer gratitude, doesn't stick around.
Absolutely.
But when you honor it and you offer gratitude, most of the time in my meditations, if I'm in dialogue with some higher being, and I'll say, what may I do for you? Or what do you want of me? 9 times out of 10, there's nothing to do to really give them except go out there and be better and be your best. In other words, take the gifts that these energies and beings have given you and go out there and put them in the world. And that just makes sense to me, spiritually anyway, the ethics of spirituality.
Absolutely. My guest, Dr. Sharon Martin, her new book, Maximize Your Healing Power, Shamanic Healing Techniques to Overcome Your Health Challenges. Sharon, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and your work.
My website is drsharonmartin.com, drsharonmartin.com. If you order, you can order on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, on Inner Traditions. If you order there, bring that order number back to my website and you can plug it in and download a whole bunch of freebies and beautiful gifts from my colleagues, other spiritual teachers. So if you can't remember to go to Amazon, you can go to my website and it'll tell you how to order the book.
And we'll be back with more of Dr. Sharon Martin and Maximize Your Healing Power after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Dr. Sharon Martin. Her new book, Maximize Your Healing Power, Shamanic Healing Techniques to Overcome Your Health Challenges. Sharon, how did you blend shamanic practice with traditional Western medicine and develop maximum medicine?
For me, maximum medicine is a construct for me when I'm thinking about a person and assessing a person. And it pulls in all the different things I've learned, as well as 2 things I've intuited, and gives me a broader way to assess somebody and to visualize beyond just what the lab values or the blood pressure tell me when I'm looking at somebody. Allopathic is good at measuring blood values and things like that. But to see somebody and think about their destiny, to think about their soul's journey, it adds a depth, a richness. I don't always use my shamanic tools with my patients directly, but I think that I do always use them in my assessment, in my looking at somebody, intuiting about somebody, thinking about how to help them steer the course of their illness. And again, for me, the shamanic training is one of recognizing that we are not alone, that there are other energies that we interact with, that we are interdependent with heaven and earth, and that we can use the power of our intentions through ritual to really evoke a whole different outcome.
You share that incorporating the mystical and spiritual are important for shifting a life challenge. Please explain.
Unless a patient, a person, can really engage their higher self and pull in an image and a belief and an intention for a healed state, I don't think much can be changed. I can fix somebody's blood pressure, but I don't know if I can necessarily make their life more full of more well-being. But when you can call on your higher self, your consciousness, link it up to the powers of what we often call the Akashic field, be able to set an intention, then you can make shifts. And those shifts can be incredibly miraculous.
Someone said everything is energy and intention guides it. How do we guide that energy with our intention?
To me, intention is an arrow, a laser-focused arrow onto the target. And you can have a wish for something, but it could be all over the place. And oftentimes our wishes are, I don't want to be this anymore, or I don't like this in my life anymore, which continues to keep that present in your thinking. Because when you're saying, I don't want, you're still stuck in that feeling and energy of what's not there, the absence, the missing, the defective. But if you can shift it to being, and it's more than affirmation, for me, it's intention has a higher energy than affirmation. You are putting your heart congruent with your thoughts, and you are setting a desire, and that desire is very deep and resonates through your whole mind, body, spirit, and aiming at the thing that you want, not the thing that you're missing. And those, I think, are keys for how we change our thinking and we can bring in a new outcome. We can steer our destiny. So intention is really, your thoughts really do matter. And the way that your thoughts get congruent with your actions, the more congruent you are, the more powerful, the more positive your thoughts are, looking at bringing in your healed self. And I really believe in the power of visualization, meditation, even self-hypnosis, even leading yourself on a guided visualization. When you activate that depth of your subconscious, tapping into your higher self, you're really activating the powerful part of yourself.
Many of our listeners have regular meditation practices. Please share with us how we may incorporate what you're sharing within those meditation practices.
If you want to shift a health challenge, and this could be a life challenge as well, in your meditation, perhaps you would want to incorporate a guided visualization where you have a dialogue, sacred dialogue with something. That sacred dialogue could be with your higher self. It could be with your future healed self. It could be with your guardian angel. It could be with a wise person. But if you guide yourself to enter a sacred space and visualize yourself sitting down across from this being or this energy, and you could sit across, just say there's a part of your body that isn't working right. You could sit across from the wise energy of your arthritic knee and have a dialogue, a sacred dialogue, to say, what do I need to know about why you're hurt? And what am I doing that's making that hurt worse? And what can I do to make that better? And how can I bring in healing energy to shift this? And you could repeat that dialogue every day in your meditation. It'll change, and what you understand and learn will expand. And then you get the insights of what to do differently. And those insights are probably deeper than what you could just sit and think of on your own, because you are in a sacred meditative space.
It's interesting. And part of my spiritual coaching work, when someone has a complaint about something, be it a physical complaint or an emotional complaint, I'll ask them to give it a name. What name comes to mind? And quite frankly, those names are often people that they're in difficult relationships with, or situations that they're in difficult situations with. And by identifying them, that begins a healing process. Do you find the same?
Yes, and what you're also alluding to is there are so many people in our day-to-day experiences that drain our energy, that are difficult. And it's one thing to have a soul lesson with a difficult parent. Many of us have had difficult parents, but it's another thing to consciously pick someone who continually drains you. And maybe by naming it, you can be aware of how that person is really sucking your energy dry.
Many years ago, I took part in a Reiki marathon. A Reiki marathon was where a group of Reiki practitioners and masters got together and for the benefit of one person who would be there literally on the healing table, the massage table, all day. And when my shift came and I approached the table, I didn't know anything about this woman other than the fact that she had asked for healing. And I was scanning her abdominal area, and when I got to the area above where the ovaries would be, I saw two initials. And I said to her, who are the initials X and Y in your life? And she mentioned two names, and she said, that's my husband and my son. And I said, how are you feeling about them right now? She says, I felt as if they've abandoned me. As it turned out, she had ovarian cancer. And apparently that manifested in what happened to her, the feelings about her husband and her son, and the sense of being
abandoned,
abandoned or being not loved. Mm-hmm. And in the process of doing that, we collectively, the group of healers there, helped promote a healing for her.
Wonderful. I love that.
And so consequently, identifying these things, identifying the connection between the emotional, the spiritual, or the material cause of what's affecting your health, is an important part to the healing process, isn't it?
Yes. And I think for people who may be new at this, you were trained in Reiki at that time and you have good extrasensory perception. But if somebody's brand new at this, start to really pay attention to your intuitions. It might only come for a fraction of a second and you kind of blow it off. Start to pay attention, because we do have the ability to take in data through other means than what, you know, than just what we're taught in school and what's in front of us. And we can really amplify our knowings when we increase our intuition.
There's a song by Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues called The Voice. And part of the lyric says, make a promise, take a vow, and trust your feelings. It's easy now. Understand the voice within and feel the change already beginning.
Ah, the Moody Blues.
Moody Blues.
That brings, we're showing our age, Victor.
Yes, we are. In your new book, Maximize Your Healing Power, you share the four A's of maximum medicine. We briefly touched upon some of that. Please share with our listeners the four A's of maximum medicine.
So I describe medicine wheels in my book because to me they're symbolic and people might resonate with them from Native American, the symbolic journey to go around the circle. But I intuited how the majority of challenges can be broken down into four steps that I put on a medicine wheel called the four A's. And the first is to be aware, and you do that by having more intuition. The second step is to allow, which I love this step because this is where you let in all the energies of the unseen world, all of those higher energies, and you could call them ascended masters, angels, your ancestors who have crossed over already, things like that. The, you know, even the spirits of the trees when you walk in the forest. And then you take an action. So the third A is act. And you take an action because you've now become more aware and your helpers that you've allowed have given you more insight. And you take an action, such as clearing your energy field. I do teach how to do that. How to visualize your healed self. How to get out from under a contract that your soul had been operating under. And then you affirm it. The fourth A is affirm. And you affirm it by practicing it or bringing it into your day-to-day life for many weeks after, because you really want to seal in the energetic shift. And so I like that way of looking at a process. And I call it the medicine wheel of the four A's.
Is belief or faith necessary for these practices to work?
I think belief is necessary because if you don't believe, there's going to be incredible resistance and those changes aren't going to flow through. I think you can have work done to you by a very gifted healer. But if you don't believe, I don't think it will last because your human mind with your self-doubt, your lack of confidence, your unwillingness to think outside of the box is going to put barriers up into the new energy flow that perhaps that gifted healer established for you. And boom, you're back where you started.
Can the everyday person who's never had any experience with any of this understand and work with the energy field?
Absolutely. Because once you start to sense it, you'll get validation of what's there. Once you allow yourself the language and the pot, just to be able to say, let's talk about your energy field. Let's say you have this energy field around you. Do you feel that it is full and powerful? And they'll say no. Do you feel that you're drained? Yes. Do you feel that when you're in such and such situation, your energy is draining more or getting better? No, it's draining more. People already sense the very basics of that. And then I do teach a meditation and a technique that you can work with that. But with practice, I never knew I knew I had a little intuition, but I never knew I had other ways of seeing. But we practiced that in my shamanic training. And we practiced describing to our classmates when we were in exercises with them and saying, well, it feels like such and such here. And I sense this density here that I'm going to remove now. And then you tell the person you've never met before, they're your classmate, but you've never really sat with them. They said, well, that's exactly right. That's where I had my auto accident and such, I got a penetrating wound. I mean, those kinds of synchronicities are going to come forward. You're going to see that you're not making this up.
Absolutely. My guest, Dr. Sharon Martin, her new book, Maximize Your Healing Power, Shamanic Healing Techniques to Overcome Your Health Challenges. We'll be back with more of Sharon after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Dr. Sharon Martin, her book, Maximize Your Healing Power. Sharon, you started touching upon this a little bit earlier. In the book, you discuss the concept of soul contracts. What are they? How may they affect our health? And may they be altered or dismissed?
In our belief system is often a belief that comes about an agreement that you made, that your soul made. And again, I'm speaking as I believe in a soul, I believe in past lives. But you made an agreement to act in a certain way. And in that lifetime or in that time in this life, that may have been very useful. So take, for example, you had a lifetime where you were the eldest child of, I'm just making this up as I go along. You're settlers going out on the plains, something happens and your parents are killed. And there you are as the eldest child having to take care of and be in charge of everything for the ones who are younger beneath you. And then in this lifetime, you continue to take care of everything, to be in charge, to put yourself aside in order to keep taking care of everybody else. And then you hit the place where you become emotionally and physically exhausted, and you start to manifest illness. Well, if you can put yourself in a meditative space to see what are the rules that you're operating under, because I have people who do a lot and they're exhausted, and I'll say, you do all this for everybody. Do you have to? Oh, yes, I have to. And I'll say, well, why do you have to? Well, because I have to. But if you are able to engage and talk and just say, you're operating under this rule, this contract that you made that said you would be in charge and you would take care of everything. And at the time you made it, that was very noble and wonderful and necessary. But now it doesn't fit, and it's actually becoming harmful to you. And in my book, I teach a visualization you can do to shift that. When you can, in sacred space in meditation, visualize yourself going to, and I teach this in my book, going to the Hall of Contracts. And this is a great big library filled with scrolls or books where every person in every lifetime had written and signed these sacred soul contracts. And say you have a magical librarian bring you your contract forward, and you see that it's written down there where you said, I will take care of everybody. And then you are able in sacred space to say to this magical librarian, I don't want to work under this contract anymore. I want to negate it. I want to start over. I want to make a new one. And in sacred moments like that, when your soul is really engaging with spirit, you are able to shift. And so I have you visualize bringing a piece of paper out, write down the new one. The new one perhaps wants to say, I will help when I can, but I take care of myself as well. Or I will stay in balance with all of my energies. So something else, and you negotiate in this sacred moment to shift that. And then you can just visualize having them fold it up and put it in the inactive section of the library. You can envision having a form of it being burned by a sacred candle and take on the new one. Because if you are working under beliefs that are there deep, deep, deep in your subconscious, you aren't going to shift anything if you keep doing these things that you think you're supposed to. But not everything is written in stone. And what you agreed to before may not work in this lifetime. And you are able to change it. And you are able to stop following those rules. Because it's so important, Victor, to shift your limiting beliefs, to get out of the cage that you've made from beliefs that you hold. And it takes a lot of courage, but it's so important to think of, why do I have to have this cage? Open a window, open the door, push down the bars, think a different way, expand. See yourself differently. See a possibility, even if it doesn't feel highly probable. Lock onto it. Lock onto it and give it your energy and your life force and make that new, less probable, but still possible destiny take forth.
Did you read my Akashic records before we started?
No, why? What did it say?
Because you were just describing how I spent the majority of my life, and in fact, a few years ago, I finally learned to say the word no, and I wrote a poem called The Healing Power of No, which if you wouldn't mind, I'll share with you.
Love to hear it, yep.
A time comes for choosing rather than losing the essence that makes us so, and in the bestowing, there's power in knowing the freedom that comes with no. When said with compassion, not angry in fashion, and letting the self-love flow, there's a sense of renewing and deep soul imbuing the awareness that comes with no. So with gentle voice and the power of choice and the courage to make it so, I'm still here, my friends. There's no means in this end, just the healing that comes with no.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you.
I love that.
Thank you.
I must have had a psychic moment.
There you go. Let's talk about nature and earth. What are the powers that we can get from the nature and from the earth?
So first, what seems very obvious, humans do not exist without the earth. We can go up to space stations and maybe we'll travel to Mars, but humans are intricately linked. Their evolution, their existence is linked to Earth. Earth has an energy and Earth has an intelligence, and nature, all of the creatures of nature have intelligences and energies. And you would think, of course, people know about trees, having a feeling about trees and wood spirits and spirits in the garden, but even stones. In fact, the Mayans, their medicine men, when they died, would put their spirit into one of the big stones. Take Palenque, for example, one of the big stones in the castles or the temples in Palenque. But that power that we get when we reconnect to something that we've been, that our species has been connected to way before technology, and that actually can heal you. Earth has the ability to really dissipate any short circuits in our energy field, and it has a creative force that if we line up, visualize ourselves connecting and aligning, we can get a lot of resource of power from. And using, for me, shamanism doesn't exist without nature. I don't think I can think of a single indigenous culture in which their medicine men and women didn't incorporate the energies and, you know, the herbs, the trees, the flowers of nature. So nature to me is key in any kind of healing work you want to do. And you can gain so much from restoring your field by being in concert with nature.
How do you envision the future of medicine?
Oh my, I would love to have medicine have more holistic in the sense of incorporating these ancient wisdoms from the indigenous healers and from what we start to learn about the energy field. I really see a frontier used in the concepts of consciousness. How do psychics know something outside of time and space? What is this Akashic field? I believe that that can be tapped into, in my view of medicine in the future. You can tap into that and align with the templates, the cellular and biologic templates of how a human organism is supposed to grow and work. And in that case, you could download the healed version and override the short-circuited, defective version that's operating. And that sounds a little bit sci-fi, but I think if we keep exploring consciousness, we're going to find that that's potential. And if we could bring that as our future, I would love that.
What would you like readers to take away from Maximize Your Healing Power?
That each person has power over their physical and health destiny, and that these awarenesses and rituals and following the medicine wheels that I teach, those can help you with an important adjunct to any kind of allopathic treatment you want to do. And take back your power, because I believe the humans are much more than we know ourselves to be. So that's what I'm all about.
be a partner in your healing.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. My guest, Dr. Sharon Martin, her book, Maximize Your Healing Power, Shamanic Healing Techniques to Overcome Your Health Challenges. Sharon, one more time, please share with our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you.
So my book, by the way, it's number one on Amazon in a
Congratulations.
Few days. That's so exciting. So thank you, everybody, for your interest. It is all about giving you, the listener, the reader, the power back. You can buy my book on Amazon. You can buy it on Barnes & Noble. You can buy it on Inner Traditions. And then don't forget, bring your order number back to my website, drsharonmartin.com, drsharonmartin.com, and put the order number in and download a whole bunch of freebies, writings from my colleagues, meditations, visualizations, pictures I took around the land I live on that you can use as wallpaper. There's all kinds of fun things. And you can send me an email. If I can help you in any way, send me an email.
Sharon, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this very important and loving wisdom.
Victor, thank you for having me. It was so wonderful being with you.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the voice, Furman. Have a wonderful weekend.